Hang on, I'm chewing.
Yes, I hear it. Can you just swallow, please?
Never ask one to swallow. The good one will just do it without you asking. I'm sorry. That's disgusting. I'm a disgusting person.
Yeah.
Welcome to Subscurity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Brenna.
And I'm Jordan. And today we're talking about lottery winners. So besides the amazing and serendipitous event that led you to become my friend, what would you say is the luckiest moment in your life?
The luckiest moment in my life?
Yes, the luckiest.
That's a big one.
Yeah, besides me.
Wasn't going to say that.
Because I said besides me. Thanks for listening. Keep going.
I'm a little concerned that like nothing is coming immediately to mind, which made me think I've been pretty unlucky. Luckiest thing that's ever happened to me. Never won the lottery. I think I won like $5 off a scratch ticket once. That was pretty cool. I don't know if this is the luckiest thing, but I thought it was pretty lucky. I got upgraded to first class once when I was like a poor 21-year-old, and I have not been upgraded since.
How long of a flight was that?
3 hours.
That's not bad.
It was Miami to Boston.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it was a good experience. It was a legit first class experience with meals and everything.
As opposed to an illegitimate first class?
Yes. That is correct.
Well, so like too short of a flight to get...
Too short of a flight, yeah. Or you know how some of the planes, the... first class or business class, it doesn't look that, it's just bigger seating and that's it.
There's like a curtain that
and that's yeah. It yeah. No, this one had like reclining seats and a TV.
You felt better than the peasants behind you is what you're saying.
The peasants, yeah. From whom I was upgraded.
Got it.
As a 21-year-old.
Would you say that, so I mean, what about this? You were born white. That's pretty...
Wow. White privilege is not even thinking that you won the lottery by being born white. But yeah, no, you're right. I was born white, and that is pretty darn lucky.
No, that actually... The lottery is exactly where I wanted you to go, but I also wanted to call out your just complete lack of awareness of your own privilege.
That's me.
Yeah. No, the lottery is... I'm really glad you said that, because I want to talk about the lottery today, but more specifically... Lottery winners.
All lottery winners are the ones who go bankrupt, which is like 80% of lottery winners.
Yeah, the big ones.
Yeah.
And the bad things that happen to them. So I'm going to just start this by saying, don't win the lottery, folks. Like, if you're going to win the lottery, win a small amount. The $5 scratch ticket, that's good. Don't win like 9-digit figure amounts, because your life will probably get significantly worse.
Really?
Really.
I don't believe that.
Allow me to spend the next 30 to 45 minutes trying to change your mind.
All right.
So I'm going to give you some general statistics first of these lottery winners. Now, it is true that like we are like the people I'm going to focus on are probably like represent like a third of the people who actually win, right? So, but the cases that their cases present such a terrible vision of what your life can become that it proportionally to me feels far more significant than maybe it is realistically. That said, there are things that will generally change for you if you win the lottery, just in terms of raw probability of certain events.
Interesting. Well, so I just want to say winning the lottery, what is like 1 in a million odds, but if you win the lottery, apparently you have a 1 in 3 chance of ruining your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what you're saying. Okay.
Among other things, like the statistics I'm about to go are pretty terrifying. I will say the majority of what I'm going to talk about today, I want to give full credit to an old post. I think it's about 7-10 years old that's been around the internet. If you've been on Reddit, you may have seen a copypasta of this where... Don't roll your eyes. That is the correct terminology.
God, you're such a nerd.
You might have seen somebody copy paste the same comment that a couple times about what happens if you were to ever win a big amount. This is, you know, replayed on Reddit endlessly. It was not originally a Reddit post. I traced it back to the original post, which was by a pseudonym of the other Lego bread. Or excuse me, the other Lego head. And it was posted on a metal detecting discussion forum called DanKowskiDetectors.com.
Oh, DanKowskiDetectors.com. Yeah. Second favorite pastime.
Which I think we should talk about probably at some point. Like, okay. People who
Googling now.
But the original post that I'm referencing a lot of this from is, and is now kind of somewhat infamous on the internet, was from the other Lego head on DanKowski Detectors. And then, but the data...
What does he say?
Data he talks about has been backed up in like multiple other articles I found. So if you are a large jackpot winner, and he defines large jackpot winners not as like $1 million, not that that's not a lot of money, but specifically the 9, 8, even 7 figure range of money.
Damn.
These people face double digit multiples of probability against the general population. So 10 times as often or more to be a victim of homicide, 20 times more likely, in fact, for homicide, drug overdose, bankruptcy. How's that for irony?
Yep. All this tracks.
And kidnapping.
No, that all makes sense to me.
Yep. Triple digit multiples of probability against the general population for being convicted of drunk driving, being the victim of homicide at the hands of a family member, which is actually 120 times more likely.
Yep, that makes sense.
A defendant in a civil lawsuit and defendant in felony criminal proceedings.
All of that tracks. Yeah. As soon as you have money, people are going to come after you.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, this is lies, and statistics or whatever, right? So it's 120 times more likely. Something that's very improbable is still not necessarily that significant. But again, there are so few lottery winners in general, and proportionally the amount of people who have had some major problems, it frightened me.
What are the overlapping odds? Like, so let's assume the odds of one of those things happening is one thing. What about multiple of those things happening to somebody?
I don't know, but I think it increases. Like, you are almost, I think you're likely to get multiple things. Like, if you're a defendant in a civil lawsuit, you're probably also going to become a defendant in a felony criminal proceeding of some sort.
Probably. And the homicide one, if it's a homicide by family member, you also check the homicide box.
Right,
so
exactly.
2 for 1. Yeah.
Lucky you. It's a freebie. So I'm gonna quote the post here, but believe it or not, your biggest enemy, if you suddenly become possessed of large sums of money, is you. At least you have the consolation of meeting your fate by your own hand. But if you can't manage it on your own, don't worry. The number of willing participants ready to help start your vicious downward spiral for you is numerous. Mind you, many of these will be friends, friendly neighbors, or family. Often they won't even have evil intentions. But as I'm sure you know, that makes little difference in the end. Most aren't evil. Most aren't malicious. Some are. None of it's good for you.
Yeah.
So, and this is it. You might immediately think of stories that get often spread around about, for example, athletes who overnight become millionaires or multimillionaires, right? And often come from places that are impoverished. They might not have had many financial resources growing up. They might have a network of people who also don't have financial resources at the point when they actually do come into their money, right? And so when I started reading about this, like, my bias was a little towards that, you know, that people who play the lottery are probably more down on their luck than other people, generally speaking. And so they're more likely to be a victim of just their circumstance than anything else.
Is there a statistic to back that up? Because anecdotally, that makes sense to me. That's just a feeling.
That was my bias. I don't have the statistics of who plays the lottery versus who, you know, what's the demographic breakdown of who plays the lottery. But I think the clearest counterexample to my own bias on that is, and this is the person who's emblematic of this whole discussion, is a man named Jack Whitaker. So he was he is a West Virginia native. He won, at the time, in 2002, the largest single award jackpot in U.S. history.
How much was it?
$315 million. This was 2002, $315 million. And he was, I think, 55 years old at the time he won.
What's that adjusted for inflation? What's that in 2021 dollars?
So $315 million in 2021 dollars is $478 million, and I didn't just pause for 3 minutes to look that up, so thanks for asking that question. I definitely had it ready.
Definitely had it at hand. I also, the thing is though, what's really funny is at a certain point, what is the fucking difference between $300 million and $400 million? All of that money is just fake money that you couldn't possibly spend in your life. Well,
challenge, because these challenge people are accepted, gonna, yeah, yeah. Gonna
I mean, people obviously do, but that's just a ridiculous amount of money. Practically, there's no difference to me, and it's just reminding me of, you're going to hate this, but I forget who it was. It was a Seahawks player a few years ago who sat out the first couple games to negotiate a higher salary. I think it was
Earl Thomas, I think.
I don't think it was Earl Thomas, but it, like, he was getting 15 and he wanted 20. I'm like, oh, like, granted, that's a lot less than hundreds of millions, but what is the difference between 15 and 20?
Yeah, I mean,
million. Million.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the topic at hand, which is lottery winners. Something about 400-ish, almost $500 million, and this guy named Jack Whitaker.
So Whitaker wins $350 million in 2002. And the reason he's a really good subject on this is because, like I said, he counteracts that narrative of somebody who doesn't know how to spend money or how to hold on to money. This man was worth $15 million at the time he won the lottery.
Why the fuck was he playing the lottery?
For fun, right?
Oh my
so
God.
He planned to live modestly, but he also, the reason he was wealthy was he owned a contracting firm in West Virginia. So this man had money. He had a family with grandchildren. They were well off. And he didn't plan to do anything with the money beyond, you know, spend a little bit frivolously. But for the most part, he was going to just go on living his normal life and living it modestly and setting up his family for not having to worry about it once he was gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were staring at me with huge eyes.
I'm just like, how is this going to take a turn? What happened?
So he took the all-cash option, which was $170 million instead of the annuity option, which after taxes left him with $114 million in cash.
Which is basically nothing. Man, you really...
Right, but I mean, you're not wrong,
Obama.
Though. Like, that's... Yeah. In 2002, it would have been Bush, but we can still blame Obama. Often,
blame Obama.
Many of the things Bush did were blamed on Obama anyways.
Exactly.
So he takes $114 million in cash in 2002.
Take the annuity.
No.
Really?
Actually, so I'm going to talk at the very end about the right things to do, at least according to random people on the internet.
According to Jordan, someone who's never won the lottery. Take your advice.
I haven't won the lottery.
You're unemployed.
I am unemployed. I have no insurance. I am the person to listen to on financial advice.
All right. So I'll stop interrupting and I'll let you get on with what happened.
I think this is a much better story when you tell it.
Without notes in front of me.
Yeah. The first thing that happens to him is he becomes the subject of a bunch of financial stalkers. For example, they found his regular breakfast hideout and would go to him with suggestions on how to spend his money. These people were unemployed, but they would look for him to interview them for a job because they needed cash now. They had a surefire business plan. Their daughter had cancer. A niece had dialysis. You know, whatever it was, people would show up to the place where he was known to frequent and basically accost him, constantly asking for money. They eventually escalated that to going directly to his home and not stopping ringing his doorbell. He ended up having to pay off-duty deputies to protect his family, which at that point led to accusations in the town and in the surrounding area of him being a heartless, cold, stingy bastard.
Don't want people harassing me endlessly. What a stingy bastard.
He has $114 million. What is he doing with it? So people start mailing him letters. This is 2002, so email's kind of a thing.
That was a thing.
It was a thing. I definitely had email. I think I still have the same email. No, maybe I don't have the same email.
No.
I had an early Gmail, but I don't think 2002 was that early.
I have my same email. It's Hotmail.
Yeah. Cool.
Haven't changed it yet.
If you'd like to reach out to Brenna, she's at brenna@aol.com. Probably not, though.
Just try it, though.
Yeah, see who replies. I mean, it's Brenna. Brenna will reply. See how she replies.
There you go.
So letters start coming in. You know, my child has cancer. I have diabetes. I have MS. He actually, you know, he's still trying to be a good person. He hires people to sort through the mail and a detective to actually filter out which ones were real stories and which ones were people who were just trying to con him.
Wow.
Because he was actually legitimately like willing to give money to people to help out their lives. The clerk who actually sold him the lottery ticket that ended up winning, was also the victim of this. And I haven't even got to what really happened to him yet, but like just on her part, he wrote her a check for $44,000, you know, thank you for selling me the winning ticket. And also
$44,000 is a pretty random number.
And also bought her a house.
Oh, okay.
Right. I don't know why that number 44,000, but he gave her $44,000 and a house.
She was nothing to sneeze at.
No, he had a lot of money, but he was distributing it to some degree. She, you know, still not a millionaire, but rumors persisted that the state would pay the clerk who sold the winning ticket 10% of the jackpot. So, which wasn't true, but people believed it or were willing to at least spread this rumor. So people were following her home from work, threatening her, assaulting her under the assumption that she had a lot more money than she actually did.
What is wrong with people?
People want money.
Yeah, but you don't. She is accost and harass people for it.
I'm making light of it, but no, 100%.
That's awful. And I hate people who have money.
I know.
I hate the 1%. Fuck them. But I wouldn't harass
them. In terms of globally, you are the 1%. I know.
Thanks, being white and American.
Now, for some reason, he decided to keep half a million, like twice, on two separate occasions, he kept large sums of money in his car. Like at one point it was $500,000, and another point it was $200,000.
Hasn't he ever seen a TV show where they have to launder drug money? You don't leave it in your car.
Have you ever listened to radio where people don't eat food while they're talking?
Was it that apparent?
It's extremely apparent.
I'll just finish chewing. You go on.
Yeah. Allow me to mute you. So he leaves the money he leaves large sums of cash in his car. He lets some trusted acquaintances become aware that he did this. Surprise, by the way, both times the money was stolen from his car. In one particular instance, the thieves spiked his drink with prescription drugs. He was violently allergic to those drugs and likely would have died, but he was able to make it to the nearest emergency room. And fortunately, he didn't consume the drink that actually had narcotics in it as well, which would have killed him. The second incident specifically was the handiwork of his granddaughter's friends, who had been probing his granddaughter for details on his own cash for like weeks. Even his generosity ends up being questioned by people. He offered $10,000 to improve the city's water park so that it become more handicap accessible. Locals complained that he wasn't spending enough money there because he spent more money on the local strip club.
Did he actually?
Yes.
Well, okay. I agree with supporting sex work, so that is all right. Approved.
But the point is, like, he's still making a generous donation.
Yeah, people are being, you can't be a bet. Beggars can't be choosers, right?
And well, apparently they can.
Well, I mean, they always are. They often are. But, I mean, that's too bad, because one question I have for you is, if you won a ton of money, like, how would you give back philanthropically, if at all? And would you feel there's a moral obligation? If so, over, like, what amount? So I think, I don't know. I think it's great that he is giving back, and he did take so many steps, especially hiring a personal investigator and someone to vet the letters. I don't know. It seems like, at least from the story, he's a good guy who likes strippers.
He's certainly not a bad guy, I would say, right? And maybe there's more details of his personal life that I don't know about. But in general, it's not like he's doing the wrong thing. Like, he's spending some of the money on things he wants to spend on, right? Lap dances and gambling in Atlantic City. But he's also giving money to other people. He's being generous. He ends up investing in his own business, which triples the amount of people employed, right? Like, he's giving people jobs and made himself one of the largest employers in the area, and then gives $14 million to charity through a foundation he sets up for that same purpose.
Damn. I'm trying to keep track of how much money do you have left after this, but right. Still quite a lot.
He still has a ton, but the money is quickly being siphoned away from him, either intentionally or by theft, right?
Was the first thing he did is hire a financial advisor? Because I always think that's the craziest thing in the world. Why wouldn't that be the very first thing you do if you won the lottery? That is well worth the investment.
So the advice on the internet that we'll get to actually disagrees with that because, well, we'll get to it, but basically because financial advisors take such, like, they work on percentage fees usually, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're talking about money at that sum, the return on investment is presumed to be far less than an actual makes sense. However, there are a number of steps you should take, which
you
is the kind of things that...
with.
Yeah, well, I do, but also it's the kind of stuff a financial advisor would walk you through, right? So if you didn't have this random internet post or postings to follow, then you, yeah, a financial advisor to talk you through these kind of things would definitely help you. I don't disagree with that at all.
We'll see if I can guess all of the financial
recommendations. You're hitting on a couple of them so far. And you also asked me what I would give money to charity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would definitely spend, I don't know what the number would be because this is all imaginary anyways, but it would definitely be a significant portion on both charitable causes as well as investments into, like, I would focus on startups that have positive implications for the rest of the planet,
mm-hmm.
right? Like carbon capture startups, sustainable farming, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm a bleeding liberal heart, but liberal bleeding heart, one of those two, maybe both. But I think there are ways you should do it. Again, we'll get to the advice. And more specifically, I would definitely follow kind of the Warren Buffett approach. And I think I'm a big fan of that, where it's, even if you're not spending the money when you're alive, set aside a little bit for your family and future generations or whatever, yeah. and the rest of it dump to organizations that you believe will effectively help the world or help people in the world, right?
Yeah.
Like the 99% of your wealth goes away type thing. So I'm a big fan. I don't think Whitaker was obviously not that generous, but he wasn't.
He wasn't stingy.
Right.
I mean,
he wasn't Scrooge, right?
Yeah. Like,
or Scrooge McDuck, DuckTales. I know you don't understand pop culture references.
What's the difference? Scrooge is from
Christmas
Carol.
Carol, yep.
And Scrooge McDuck, is that like a DuckTales version of Christmas Carol?
Yeah, but there's like in the DuckTales version of that, there's like literally a part where he jumps into a room, like size thing of just cash. He's like a dragon hoarding cash kind of thing instead of gold, right?
Gotcha.
So, but yes, the point is he's definitely giving money away.
Oh, I can make a pop culture reference.
Do it.
Breaking Bad. I am almost done watching Breaking
like
Bad.
6 years later, you're finally there.
Like 10 years later.
Yeah.
But no, there are a couple scenes where he has his something like $80 million and it's stacked away in a storage unit and the security guards roll on top of it, which can't be that comfortable. Actually.
Yeah. His big security guard guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Huel.
Yeah. Huel, yeah.
I knew this was a mutual friend, a couple. This was before marijuana was legalized, and they had an illegal pot farm. And
sure.
Why not?
They're white.
They're white. Why wouldn't they? I forget if they sold the business or something, but they came upon quite a bit of money in cash, like maybe like $100,000.
Yeah.
So definitely not an insignificant amount. And they decided to have sex on it because they were like, when else in our lives are we going to be able to have sex on this much money?
Don't blame them for that decision at all.
Yeah. And I guess it was really uncomfortable because you just have the stacks of bills.
Dirty, yeah. Too.
And so dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, like, I've always heard cash is gross, but never did I think, oh, someone could have come on this, like,
ew,
stack of bills.
Don't say come. Didn't we talk about this? That's disgusting.
I'm still like recovering from the bad sex writer episode.
I blacked that out of my memory. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Can you just stay on track here, Jordan?
I'm trying so hard.
Sorry.
So Whitaker set up a charity. He's employed people. He's still losing money in random ways. He's then accused of ruining people's marriages.
How's that?
His money made other men feel inferior.
Oh, God.
Wherever he went in West Virginia, basically, it would cause resentment. And he was sued multiple times for ruining men's marriages because presumably their wives were so infatuated with his money. He had to settle those cases.
I'm sorry, on what legal ground?
that juries do not like rich people.
What? That's fucked. That's so he, I hate rich people, and I think that's fucked up.
Yeah, so he ends up paying people. Like, he settles. He's paying these people because they're jealous of his money.
That's insane.
That's not the first time this happens either for him. Or it is the first time, but it's not the last time.
What the fuck?
Yeah. His family and his immediate circle are quickly victims of overdoses, emergency room visits, and even death. His granddaughter, an 18-year-old girl at the time named Brandy, he had been giving her $2,100 a week as an allowance.
That's a mistake.
Yeah. She was found dead after being missing for several weeks. Her death was reported as a drug overdose. He suspects and continues to suspect to this day foul play. Her body had been wrapped in a tarp and hidden behind a rusted out van. I'm going with his gut on this one.
You mean to tell me before you intentionally drug overdose, you don't wrap yourself in a bundle of tarp?
That hasn't been my experience, but, okay. But I don't have a lot of drug overdose deaths on my record.
No, interesting. Yeah, I would say your hunch is correct.
3 months before that, her 17-year-old boyfriend was found dead in Whitaker's vacation home, also from an overdose.
Jesus.
Some of his friends, that kid's friends, had robbed the house after the overdose, stepped over his body to make them their escape, and returned more before stepping over his body again to leave. So they just left.
That's awful.
I mean, this is Breaking Bad, right? Like,
it is, yeah. Well, I know you said that this was kind of an anomaly or...
I don't think this is an
anomaly. Well, not an anomaly, yeah. But challenged your bias in that the guy was wealthy. But, you know, pardon my ignorance here. Isn't West Virginia a pretty poor, generally speaking, state? So yes. I think perhaps compounded by the fact that maybe some of the people suing him and writing the letters, I mean, you're surrounded by a lot of impoverished people. So it's a much bigger wealth gap than, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think what I would take from, because I'll go through some couple of, not as much detail, but for a couple of these other examples, I think you'll find that no one can avoid connections to areas, whether it's personal or not, but people who have a strong desire and need, whatever it is, for that money and will make themselves part of your lives, even if you're not already enmeshed in that community, right?
If you win the lottery, how much of it would you give to me?
So some of his friends...
half?
The kid's parents sued for wrongful death, sued Whitaker for wrongful death, claiming that his money contributed to their son's death. Again, juries are prone to award damages to people who are very wealthy, mm-hmm. or against people who are very wealthy, mm-hmm. so he settles. So, like, this is the pattern.
It's starting to add up. Right? Yeah, geez.
In the meantime, as all this is going on, he's trying to live his life. So he's, let's say, driving around town. The local and state police also know who he is. He gets arrested for minor or even less than minor offenses a total of 250 times in 18 months.
For what?
Broken taillights, improper display of renewal stickers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And not sometimes the implication is the broken taillight was because somebody broke his taillight and then he's immediately cited and arrested.
Those sound like maybe three administrative things you could fix rather easily.
Yeah. 250 times in 18 months.
Yeah. Wow.
He tries to finally use the court to his advantage and tries to sue various police organizations for harassment. It goes nowhere, and he's eventually forced to pay the court costs of his lawsuit back to the police departments.
I am dumbfounded.
His wife files for divorce.
What? Because she just can't handle the drama?
Presumably. I don't know the details of why they divorced, but I think that the drama definitely probably contributed. Definitely probably.
Yeah. And I mean, that's such a stressful thing for anyone to go through. Yeah. I mean, you have a bunch of money, but everything you've said sounds like it's ruining his life.
Yeah. That divorce filing froze his assets. He was gambling in Atlantic City during the time the divorce was going on, when his assets got frozen, he got sued by Caesars in Atlantic City for $1.5 million to cover the bounced checks that was happening because his assets were frozen.
I mean, that does sound a little reckless.
Yeah, right? Like, he's not
a perfect person.
I mean, he's definitely responsible for some of what happens to himself, but $114 million or whatever, by today, 2021, he's badly in debt. He recently had his home catch fire in the last couple of years. I don't know if it was arson or unrelated, but knowing his history, I'm going to guess foul play was involved.
Jeez.
And I believe he either is in bankruptcy or will be shortly.
How far in debt is he? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Good story, right?
A lot of debt.
Yeah. So he's like the case example. And the one you go to when you realize maybe winning the lottery isn't always a good thing. Now, he's also the extreme example, but he's not so far extreme that he's out of what is the norm, where it can often be the norm for people. There's just story after story of people who end up dead, committing them, you know, either by suicide or murder, end up in bankruptcy, end up in, with problems with drugs and alcohol, et cetera. So we can go over some of these other ones, but this is a constant theme you'll see for people who win large jackpots.
So can you remain anonymous? Does it vary by state? Because I think step one is don't release your name to the public. And when you show up to get the check, wear a mask. I don't know.
You are killing this, by the way.
Some states, don't they require you come on TV? Show up on TV.
Really?
Never mind.
We can't use that word anymore. Is
that it's been ruined.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you have to show up? I feel like I've read about someone showing up in a mask, I guess, because they had to receive the check in public.
So two things. One is, like I was saying, you were hitting the steps of how to do this correctly.
You can just say I'm really smart. Just say it verbatim. Brenna, you're really smart.
You've been very lucky in how you figured these things out.
One more time. Brenna. Repeat after me. Okay. Brenna.
Brenna.
You're very smart.
Fafanopoly. So yes, you're hitting it. And two, it does depend on state. So some states I believe some states will allow you to do it anonymously. The vast majority of states do not. And that includes
Why? That includes
our own state. I don't know. I'm honestly dumbfounded as well. Like, the more I read about this, I looked at Washington State. Washington State does require the ticket to be signed, and it is, I guess, publicized to some, especially for large amounts. It is like public record who won. Now, you can claim it in the name of like a trust or an estate. However, public records requests will say who's behind the trust or estate if it was formed for that purpose. So there's no way to do it anonymously in our state, for example.
Is it because the lotto is funded by tax dollars?
I don't know the answer, but maybe. Yeah,
I feel like it is.
For transparency, because I'm not talking about it today because I didn't research it, but I know, and I'm sure many people listen to this, have heard of people who have cheated the lottery or gamed the lottery. You're giving me a look that
says...
You can
do that. How do you cheat the lottery?
I don't have the research, but thanks for asking. No, but I know there was at least one person or group of people who were like mathematicians and were able to statistically figure out essentially what the correct odds were to buy enough tickets to guarantee a win, essentially.
Holy shit.
Yeah, other people who had insider knowledge. Now, I'm conflating some of this in my head with like people who've cheated at like the McDonald's stuff, right? But I'm pretty sure there are people who have cheated the lottery. And so I think you are right that some of the rules around revealing the winner is probably transparency. So there is knowledge of that the money isn't going to siphoning off into some random government employee's account or something, right?
Gotcha. That makes sense-ish.
Sense-ish, yeah. So let's talk about some of these other people. So, Curtis Sharp, was a man who won a $5 million jackpot in 1982. He was kind of a dream come true for the lottery at the time because the lottery was facing an image problem. And I'm guessing it's because it exploits people who don't make a lot of income with the promise that it's going to somehow turn their lives around. And it's an incredibly regressive way to get money into a state. Right? There's a lot of reasons, I think. Right? The lottery isn't great. But so they were facing an image problem. This guy wins. He had been a dishwasher. He had a lot of charisma and swag. And so he was kind of like the perfect poster boy to say, like, look, this could happen to you, right? Like, your life could turn around.
Yeah.
He had a very larger than life personality. He wore a bowler hat. He liked to flash his money around too, which helped promote, look what you get when you win the lottery, right? Like, yeah, if you've seen lottery commercials, they like to kind of make it look what you can do with your money, right?
That's a recipe for disaster though.
Yeah. He spends his money on parties, women, new houses, flashy cars, and basically, yeah, his lifestyle becomes very visible and publicly to people who are playing the lottery. But of course, he's spending more than he's actually making on his annuity checks, and the party hard attitude is wearing on him personally, probably physically and mentally. The year after he wins the lottery, he leaves his wife for a lover and has a huge wedding.
Nice.
5 years later, that wife divorces him.
Nice.
He's drinking hard to the point where he'd pass outside of his new girlfriend's house.
Okay.
And he lost all his money at this point.
Sounds
bad. 5 years.
5 years. Well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, because one of the things they talk about as you grow your income is lifestyle creep.
Yep.
So basically, if you're used to budgeting and, you know, living under a tight budget and being really frugal, and all of a sudden you start making more money and having more disposable income, it's easier to spend that money without keeping track of it because you have a cushion. And I will be 100% honest, like, as that happened to myself, I used to track every penny I spent. I mean, I still set a budget and all of that, but I would think, nope, I can't go out to eat again. I've already gone out once this week, or, you know, very kind of strict in my head about monitoring, you know, my spending. Whereas now, Uber Eats all the time, you know, it's not a great habit, and it's surely a problem I'm not complaining about, but I think it's a real thing. Lifestyle creep as you begin to make more money.
Yeah. It's like, it's no longer the thing that's top of mind for you.
Yeah.
And so it becomes bottom of mind almost.
Well, seriously, because I remember, like, at when I made the least amount of money, when I did a gap year and I did an AmeriCorps program, made like $900 a month.
Nice.
So half of that went to
sustainable
rent. Really sustainable. But yeah, you just, and it was so livable. And I think, like, how the hell did I live off of that? And I saw actually friends who I did that program with very recently, and we were talking about, how did we live off of that money, and how did we manage to feed ourselves, and we would go out on the weekends.
Right.
I mean, in Miami, you can get in for free and as a girl, but
finish the second half of it.
As a woman.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, yeah, I think back to that time and wow, I survived on $900 a month, and
it's a lot of ramen.
It's a lot of ramen.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem that bad. And now I feel like sometimes I'm not as strict about budgeting, but again, because I don't have to be.
Yeah. Which is the ultimate first world problem.
The ultimate first world problem. Again, I'm not complaining. I want to be explicitly clear. I'm very grateful, but yeah.
Brenna is starting a GoFundMe if you'd like to help sustain her lifestyle.
Please donate to sustain my lifestyle.
So he ends up losing all his money. He actually has to borrow money from his first wife. But the good news is he does, I mean, you can see this as a happy ending, I suppose. He finds religion. He becomes a minister and now has kind of turned his life around.
Okay.
He continues to buy lottery tickets to this day.
With church members' donations?
That's a very good question.
Where are you getting that money, pastor?
Yeah. William Post III. This guy won the Pennsylvania lottery after spending his last $3 to his name. He actually pawned off another $40 worth of items that he owned to buy lottery tickets.
No way.
So he's completely penniless at this point, literally. He wins $16.2 million. Guess what he did? He spends his money.
On what? Like, how quickly and on what?
I'm not clear exactly what he spent it on, but he spends almost his entire first yearly installment of winnings about $400,000 in 2 weeks. That's a lot of hookers and blow, probably.
I mean, that has to be drugs, 100%. Okay, you've given me some... Do you know what my next question is going to be?
No.
You've given me a lot of male examples. What about women who win the lottery?
I don't have any examples.
Oh, my God. I want to see, like, women's money habits, and I want to know statistically, do they do better or worse?
Well, the good news for a lot of women is that they're able to successfully sue, even if they're not married, to get some of the winnings. So William Post III's girlfriend successfully sued half of his winnings.
On what grounds could I sue you?
No. Podcasting is not a relationship in any way that will grant me my winnings. I'm not spending money on lottery tickets.
Co-host.
To your knowledge.
to my knowledge.
Yeah. So he was in debt $500,000 in the first year. His girlfriend sued him, like I said. He had to declare bankruptcy. He held on to about $2.6 million overall, and then he immediately spent that. He was arrested for assault after firing a shotgun at a man who was pestering him for money. His brother hired a hitman to kill him and his wife so that he would inherit the money.
Nice.
This, when I say his wife, this was his sixth wife at this point.
Oh my God.
13 years later, he died
alone
and penniless, living off of welfare payments.
Oh, that's really sad. That is really sad.
And two other people, Abraham Shakespeare, amazing name. He won $40 million in Florida. I think both of the next two are actually in Florida. So hashtag Florida man over here.
This is going to be a great story.
Yeah. Wins $40 million in Florida. He's a really nice person. He's giving money to anybody who asks, essentially. He was also a high school dropout and convict who couldn't read.
Okay.
He won the lottery when he stopped at a convenience store with a coworker and gave the coworker a couple bucks to buy tickets. So his coworker eventually takes him to court, saying the tickets were stolen from him. He meets a woman named Dee Dee Moore, who said she wanted to write about his experiences. She says she'll help him manage his money. He agrees. She immediately starts spending money on herself. She bought herself a Hummer and a Corvette.
Nice.
She took possession of his home.
Nice.
And she killed him and buried his body under concrete slabs at her boyfriend's house.
What the fuck? That's so Florida. That's very Florida. Yep.
She even took extreme lengths to make it seem like he was alive by sending fake texts and attempting to bribe his family to say that she had seen him or to say they had seen him.
Oh, my God. I shouldn't laugh.
No, but it's
that's kind of
right.
So bizarre. It's,
yeah.
It's it's very bizarre.
It's dark.
It is dark. So you might as well laugh at it.
Yeah. What else are you going to do? Finally, Jeffrey Dampier Jr. And there's when I say finally, there's tons of these stories. These are just some of the choice ones I found. Jeffrey Dampier Jr. He moved to Tampa Bay after winning $20 million in the Illinois lottery. So I guess it was Illinois, but he moved to Florida right after.
She chose to move to Tampa Bay.
He made that decision.
He moved from a shitty state to a shittier state.
Yeah,
I've been to both. I'm allowed to say.
No, that's fair. It's the Tom Brady story.
Pretty much. Hey, Massachusetts isn't shitty.
Got him. So he moves to Tampa Bay after winning with his parents, his second wife, and her family. He invests in a popcorn business. He names it after his daughter. The business goes really well. So he has an apartment, a car, holidays, and more for his sister-in-law that he's funding.
Holidays?
Okay. Like
vacations?
This was a British article, so vacations. Oh. Good clarification.
Pardon me?
Let me rephrase that whole statement. He is paying for his sister-in-law to get an apartment. Yeah. He buys her a car. He pays for her vacations.
Got it. That's a much more logical way of saying it. Thank you.
That sister-in-law and boyfriend go and ask him to come to her apartment to help her with car trouble. He shows up. Her boyfriend ties him up and they steal thousands of dollars in cash that he apparently had on him. They then take him into an alley and shoot him in the back of the head with a shotgun, killing him. Now, they're both serving life sentences, so it didn't really pay off for them. But that's a very quick turnaround for the story.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, people get ruthless.
Yeah.
Okay. So I, okay. Couple questions.
Yeah.
If you won the lottery, who would you tell, if anyone?
Nobody. Besides my wife?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Aside from me, I should say.
I am going to follow these rules that I'm going to tell you deliberately and to the letter, because I just explained to you how likely it is I will get shot in the head with a shotgun if I don't. And Brenna, I love you, but I'm fairly certain you would kill me for money.
Oh, I would kill you for a lot less.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah. Right. I contemplate murdering you at least once a week.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. I give you good reason to. But yeah, I wouldn't tell anybody until I'd sorted out a number of things.
Okay. Would you at least set up an anonymous donation to me? To sustain my lifestyle?
I've heard your lifestyle is growing exponentially.
It's growing exponentially, yeah. It's out of control and I need someone to fund it.
No. Next question.
You really wouldn't take care of your friend? Let's say you got $200 million. You
this
really
is
wouldn't.
Exactly what they talk about.
You really wouldn't give it to me?
I don't even have the money and you're already begging for it.
I just don't understand because you say that I'm your best friend. So I don't understand why you wouldn't want me to live a good and sustainable life.
What are your other questions?
That's my only one for right now. Why don't you get to your five rules if you win the lottery? I'm assuming it's five.
It's something like that. Okay. So first of all, do not declare yourself the winner. Do nothing. If you have a winning lottery ticket, don't do a thing. start. It's the scene from a movie you haven't seen called Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I have seen that one.
That was one of the few pop culture references I thought you'd get. But where Jason Segel's on the surfboard and Paul Rudd is saying, don't do anything. Right? So don't do anything because you need to get a bunch of things in order. So do not tell people that you won the lottery. Do not go claim it. Do nothing. Immediately.
Move.
Possibly go on vacation if you need to get out of the country potentially, because what you need to do is get an attorney, and not some silly little attorney that like helps you with your normal like estate planning or whatever else, not your family's attorney, a major national partner from a national firm who has no connection to you, to your town, to anybody you know. This is key. All right. Second, take the lump sum. Now, I know you were saying take the annuity, but you should take the lump sum. And the reason is most lotteries pay out a completely shitty rate for an annuity.
Okay. Plus, theoretically, couldn't you make more off investments
exactly,
with a lump sum?
Okay. Exactly. The usual annuity rate is something like 4.5%. I think I looked up Washington State's and it's like 5%.
Okay.
Again, you're going to make more in investments if you invest it.
Big caveat
right.
there.
Than you would on the annuity. So take the lump sum, even though it's going to chop a lot down in taxes. The other thing to remember as you're taking that lump sum is that no matter what the jackpot number was, you're not going to get the jackpot. You're not going to get close to the jackpot, lump sum or annuity. Because of taxes. Now, in a state like ours that doesn't have an income tax, it's going to penalize you a little less, right? But you're still going to be subject to federal taxes. So expect to get 30 to 50% of what you win to go straight to taxes. Just prepare yourself mentally for that. So you don't get shell-shocked when that number inevitably drops. Number three, decide this moment before you've claimed anything, how much you're going to give to your family and friends. Do not plan to give it out as people ask. Because it's
what's the phrase I'm looking for?
Slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah. They're going to keep asking. And the first time you say yes after saying no, you're never going to be able to put that back in the box. So what the advice is, you know, whatever that number is, 20%, let's say, of your total winnings, set that aside. Figure out how you want it to be distributed. And that should probably be create some trust for your family and friends. Specify in those trusts what that money can be used for. Living expenses, possibly a first starter home for certain people if you want to. Education, right? Whatever you want your friends to be able to spend it on, so you know that they aren't spending it frivolously and then coming back to you asking for more, right? But you friends or family, you create that immediately, and then you never do another dime towards any of your family or friends again. You've given them enough, and you set it aside immediately one time, so so you don't have to have a continued conversation about it.
I think someone said, one of our friends actually, we had somehow been talking about this, and if they ever won the lottery, they, for their family, they would set up an annuity that they also wouldn't tell them, but in addition to setting a limit, they would set it up as an annuity so they get an annualized amount, right, so that you also can't overspend all at once.
Yep, that is yeah, I think they'd go on to recommend something to that effect. Yeah, that's a great idea. They say many people are going to encourage you to hire an investment manager, like you kind of were suggesting, someone to help.
Hire me. I'll charge less than whatever the market rate is.
They say not to do this because, again, they are usually using it. You're usually paying for these people as a percentage of your assets. And the more money you have, the more you're actually paying them, even if their ultimate outcome isn't any different than a much cheaper option, right? So what they really recommend is investing your money in things that are very stable, low risk, for a certain portion, and stable, low risk things like U.S. bonds, for example, treasury bonds. And then a large portion that you would want to invest in a boring S&P 500 index fund, something that's going to make 5, 7, 10, 15% even over 10, 15, 20 years. That's going to be enough to fund your income every single year, right? If you have $115 million you're investing, that's or $36 million, I should say, that you're investing, that could become $115 million in 20 years, right? So that's a much better way to invest it with low to no fees than paying somebody 1%, 2%, or 3% of everything that you own.
Yep.
And then finally, now you've got, so with that in place, you've given your friends and family money. Mm-hmm. You set aside how you're going to pay your friends and family, I should say. You've set aside how you're going to put most of your money away from an investment standpoint, so you're not immediately bankrupting yourself. And that's still going to leave you with a lot of money left to do whatever the fuck you wanted. Yeah. Now, if you want hookers and blow, great. You've probably got $20, $30 million left. Blow it if you want, but now you've set aside that money correctly.
Yeah.
And it's now, and when you've kind of divvied up that portion, now you're ready to go and start claiming your money, like go actually redeem your lottery ticket and get prepared for everything that's about to follow. So potentially, if you want to leave the country, have those plans in place, because you are going to be swarmed by people, by press, whatever it is. And it's better to get away from that, especially early on when it's going to be the news cycle.
Yeah.
Than sitting around and waiting for it to hit you.
So if you won the lottery,
there's a lot of, if you won the lottery, and the question Evelyn gets back to, how do I get the money? But go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, so you follow those 7 steps. What would you spend it on, like, for personal stuff? When it, forget, you know, investments, things for your family. Once all of that
toys,
is like beyond.
Toys.
Yeah. What are the fun things you splurge on?
I don't know if this is fun, but I'm definitely buying like a vacation home or something, like some really cool part of.
That's super fun.
Yeah. One thing that I would never pay for without just shitloads of discretionary money is a boat. And
yeah,
I say this knowing that we have a couple of friends who love boating, and I encourage those friends to get boats, because I don't want to own one, but I want you to own one so I can go on it.
Always have a friend with a boat.
Yeah, exactly. But if I have that much money, I can dump it into a boat and not worry about it. You know, I probably would get some stupid, sexy little car of some sort. What's that face?
Don't say sexy.
Sexually charged car of some sort. Is this better? I don't know. What would you spend it on?
Well, for the record, if I won, Jordan, I would give you money.
How much would you give me?
I would give you money.
You would buy me teriyaki.
I would
twice
buy
a week for 3 weeks.
Teriyaki anytime you wanted it.
Okay. That's very generous of you.
Thank you.
And that's Lottery Winners. If you win the lottery and you'd like to send us a lot of money so we can continue to do this podcast for you, this is not a threat. This is just open encouragement. You can definitely reach out to us. We are on Instas at Subscurity Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at Subscurity Pod. And our website is subscurity.com. You can also just email us your lottery ticket number so we can claim it on your behalf, if that's easier. We're subscurity@gmail.com. Our intro and outro music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Go Mordecai. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.